All right, welcome back. Hour number two. Adam the Bull with you here on CBS Sports Radio. We're coming to you live from the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Joining me now, former NFL quarterback, now NFL analyst, Dan Orlovsky. Dan, how you doing, man? Thanks for joining me.
I'm good, bud. Thanks for having me, man.
You know, Dan, I saw your video last weekend where you defended Frank Reich, and I wanted to start with that because I completely agree with you, and I love that he went for that, and I can't believe, I mean, they lost, so I guess I can understand the backlash, but I am stunned about how many people out there would have been satisfied with a tie. The guy tried to win the game, and he's being criticized for it. It just blows my mind. I'm with you 100%.
Yeah, I mean, if I was a player in that locker room and Frank Reich had punted the ball there, I would have major concerns moving forward. Like, I'd be like, well, what do you mean? You want to sit here and talk about, hey, we got to go win championships and that's what we're going to strive for, but we just didn't do it right there. I mean, because if you punt the ball, you basically guarantee a tie. And so going forward, at least you have an opportunity to win the game. And to make the decision to not go for it, you would have had to go to your franchise quarterback, Andrew Luck, and go, hey, man, I think you're great, but I don't think you can get me 4 yards. And then you got to go to your defense and go, hey, you know, I believe in you guys, but I really don't because I don't think you can get a stop. So I just, as a player, I promise you that every guy in that locker room will benefit more from that decision than if he had chose to punt the ball.
Dan, I took a controversial stance in Cleveland on my local show, and this was something that I said at the time, and you know it seems like a second guess if you didn't hear me say it until after. But in the Browns game this past weekend against the Raiders, Hugh Jackson decided in this game he was going to be extremely aggressive. They went for two, three times early in times when you normally most coaches wouldn't go for two. Right? They got a touchdown to go up 9-7 in the first half. They went for two. Then late in the game, when they got a touchdown to go up 7, I thought they should have gone for 2 to get up 9 and not just leave it at 8. But even more egregious to me, and I know this is a minority opinion, so I'm curious where you stand on this. Do you remember the play where the fourth down got where the call got overturned and it was and Carlos Hyde was just okay.
Yep.
So it's fourth and inches. And now I know it's deep in their Browns territory. A minute and a half left, minute 40, whatever it was. It's fourth and inches. The numbers say that a quarterback sneak inside of 1 yard is almost a guarantee. And if you get it, it's a first down. If you don't, they still have to get that 2-point conversion no matter where they start the drive. And the Browns defense had been a sieve in the second half. I was adamant that the Browns should have gone for it on fourth and inches and shown faith that Baker Mayfield and the offense could get that 1 inch. Most people here obviously disagreed with me. What's your take on that?
I absolutely agree with you. The 100% should have gone with it. Here's the thing, too. Like, Baker Mayfield, I'm not a big guy and like, oh, man, this dude just got it. Like, you got to be able to play. But Baker Mayfield seems like one of those guys that's going to find a way to get you a couple inches. I don't know how. I don't know why. He just seems like the kind of kid that's going to find a way. Whatever he says in the huddle is going to resonate more. He's going to get those guys to lock in just a blink more and get you a couple inches. And also, you've got an opportunity, if you're Hugh, to kind of, you know, change the course, right? Start writing this new narrative of being a winner and maybe having the opportunity to save your job long term. And I know coaches think in the now, but, you know, thinking about that division and trying to go chase down that division, it was a beautiful opportunity or a great opportunity for him to go, no, this, guys, we say it all the time, we're no longer the Cleveland Browns. This is the moment when we truly no longer become. We are no longer the Browns of the past. I would have loved to seen him go for it.
It would have been awesome. Would have been awesome, and he didn't, especially the nature of the game. He was being aggressive early. I don't know. Drives you nuts. But anyway, you know, let's talk about the offense in the NFL right now, because if you look at the history of the NFL, and we all know the game has been trending this way, but in the history of the NFL, Dan, there's been nine 5,000-yard seasons by quarterbacks. Five of them, or six of them, of the nine by Drew Brees. But there's been nine 5,000-yard seasons, and there's been 25 quarterbacks total that have thrown for 4,770 yards or more. This year, we have 9 quarterbacks at the quarter pole on pace for 5,000 yards. I'm including Deshaun Watson, who's on pace for like 4,998. And there are 14 quarterbacks on pace for 4,768. Again, only 24 quarterback seasons of 4,768 ever. There's 14 on pace. The numbers are crazy right now. Do you like it?
There's a lot of positives to it. Now, I don't want to diminish the greatness of the past and greatness of seasons that have stood out. Certainly, the offenses and quarterbacks are benefiting from the rules and benefiting from better play calling and whatnot, and a little bit more education from coaches and matchups and whatnot. It's hard to argue, though. It's hard to argue because ratings for the NFL are climbing, and they're getting better and have overcome what seems to have been a rough 18-month stretch for some parts. And so it's hard to argue that what this model has created is not beneficial right now to the league. Now, I would like to see it become a little bit more difficult to do, because then you're taking some guys and going to put them in record books with their names that probably don't belong there in some cases.
Right.
Which is a little bit unfortunate, but it's also present day, and the people who are calling the shots are concerned with, you know, numbers and dollars, and they're not necessarily concerned with the historical aspect of things.
Yeah, it really is amazing. I mean, you have a guy like Joe Flacco, for example, who has only thrown for 4,000 yards once on pace for 5,000 yards, only threw for 3,100 last year. I mean, he might get there by the halfway point of the season.
Yeah, quarterbacks are feeling good about themselves.
Yeah, no doubt. Dan Orlovsky's with us. Dan, speaking of Joe, right, Joe Flacco's, he's been down the last couple of years. He hasn't played as well. You know, the touchdown interception numbers have been bad. The yardage has not been great. He hasn't been quite the same quarterback the last few years. I think it's easy to say, well, they drafted Lamar Jackson and it lit a fire under him and he's playing better. Are you buying that, or is there something else to it, why he seems to be playing his best football in a number of years?
Well, here's the thing with Joe. Joe's never been like awesome. He's been solid,
right.
And then he's had pockets where you go, whoa, you know, that Super Bowl run. I'm the guy, I said this back when they drafted Lamar Jackson, and they finally, part of it is they put better pieces around him. You know, like, he's got 5 weapons now with Crabb and Willie Snead and John Brown, and then their tight ends that they've brought in. So that's part of it. But I said this back when they drafted Lamar Jackson, this will be Joe Flacco's best year as a pro. Because everyone, you know, sports are unique in the way of how the emotions are tied into them and their impact. And Joe Flacco had his best year and run ever when he felt disrespected, when he had those negotiations with their owners, Steve Bisciotti, and they made him an offer. And he said, no, this isn't good enough. And remember, Flacco said, I'm going to go win the Super Bowl and I'm going to force you to overpay me. Like, you
true.
Know, and it was that moment where he said, wait, I'm going to show to you that my value is greater than what you think. And it was almost the same kind of narrative or storyline this season going into it, going, oh, now you guys want to draft a kid that you think is going to replace me. Now, again, I feel disrespected. Let me show you my real value. And so I've felt since they drafted Lamar Jackson that Flacco was going to have a great year, and he's certainly off to that start.
You know, speaking of guys who are off to great starts yet again, when we're used to it, is Tom Brady. Although he actually, for him, hasn't had that great a start. But it's amazing that Tom Brady, you know, I keep waiting for him to start not being that good. And maybe that's crazy, but it's human. I mean, he's 41 years old. It's not normal that he's still good. He had a great game against the Colts this week. He has, again, even though there's been a couple of down moments this year, he's still thrown 12 touchdown passes and is completing 68% of his passes through 5 games. I mean, you know, I've been scoffing a little the last couple of years when he said he's going to be play at a high level for 5 more years. Maybe I got to scoff at myself because this guy's ridiculous.
Well, it just doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. Like, you've been around a lot of people and seen a lot of different things. It just doesn't make sense. And it's not, you know, it's not the like the low hanging fruit, easy thing to say when you go, eventually Father Time comes up to you. That's right. Just the reality. And so it's not like everybody, I said it this year, like eventually it's got to catch up to you. And then I just somehow it doesn't for him. And it's so, you know, in a way I marvel at it. I mean, because I'm 35 and I'm watching going, I couldn't even sniff doing something remotely close to that in 6 years. And so, and then in a way I'm going, all right, dude, like, come on, when are you going to be normal? You know? And so, it's really remarkable. I mean, he's, you know, there's that saying that it takes about 10,000 hours to absolutely master something. And it seems like Brady, you know, over his 15, 16, 17 years has accumulated 10,000+ hours in multiple areas of quarterback. And he's just mastered so many parts of it. And, you know, it's when you take a step back, and if you're not a fan of the team that's playing them, you can really, really appreciate it.
We're talking with Dan Orlovsky, former NFL quarterback, now NFL analyst. Dan, let's talk about the rookie quarterbacks a little bit. We'll leave Lamar Jackson out because he hasn't played really. But the other guys have now all played, have all started at least one game. You mentioned Baker Mayfield briefly before. I think the Browns have finally found their quarterback. What have you seen from Baker so far?
Well, first of all, I've changed his name to Maker Playfield, which like I think has got some sticking power. But here's the thing that has stood out about Baker, that it's become abundantly clear that he has what has always been and always will be the number one physical trait for any quarterback, and it's accuracy. I mean, there is ball placement by Baker Mayfield. And there's a difference between being accurate and being NFL accurate. And it's a difference about 6 inches. And that might not sound like a big deal. It is a massive deal. Drew Brees is going to break the passing yard record on Monday night because he has all-time NFL accuracy. And Baker is starting to really show that. And I'm not making the reference because they're both short quarterbacks. Ball placement accuracy, that is really rare, and it's not something that you can say, hey, let's just go work this and we'll get better at it over 6 months. And so I love just the accuracy. I also love the fact that his body matches his mind when it comes to thinking. Like, you can tell watching him play, okay, the coverage is this, my body's got to follow. Okay, the coverage is, and his body follows in a very short amount of time. It's not like he goes, oh, it's cover three, I've got to get my feet set over here. And then, no, it happens all simultaneously. And so I've loved those two things. I truly think that's going to separate him. He has shown nothing for anybody to think he is not going to be not only the you know, fixture for them for a long time, and I guess the quote-unquote savior for the Browns, but one of the better quarterbacks in the league for the next decade.
Yeah, I agree with you. And it's funny, as I'm thinking about the four rookie quarterbacks, I can't believe I'm saying this because it's the Browns, but you could argue clearly that Baker has the best talent around him on offense. I mean, you know, the Bills have a beat-up LeSean McCoy and nothing else. The Cardinals have David Johnson, who they're not using great. Larry Fitzgerald's been a little banged up. And with the Jets, you know, they don't have anybody. I mean, they have some decent backs. But when you look at the other three guys, who has impressed you the most of the other three?
Oh, certainly Sam Darnold. Darnold has been the best two or three players on the field for every game. And what we saw in week one and Monday Night Football, and oh my gosh, the greatest thing in the world, and the Jets are going to the Super Bowl. And then, you know, the reality set in of what was going to be the storyline all year for them. Sam Darnold is going to be fine. Sam Darnold is going to be a big-time player. They have a bad offensive line and not many playmakers around him. And so, you know, there is, when we look at all these great quarterbacks in the league, when you're talking about the best ones, you look at, you know, Brady, well, he's got some weapons, and Aaron Rodgers, well, he's got some weapons, and Matt Ryan, so these guys have weapons as well. That's what allows these guys to go to the next level. And so Darnold just doesn't have any really help around him, but you can just watch him play. And there are a handful of times a game where you go, there's only a couple quarterbacks in the league who can make that play and who can make that throw. And so Sam Darnold is, going to have a incredible future in the league as long as the Jets make the commitment to really up the assets around him over the next 18 months.
Dan, on Monday Night Football, November 19th, the Chiefs and Rams will play each other, so we'll see it on the field. But right now, which team is better to you?
Basketball and grass, it's going to be.
Yeah.
It's the Rams. The Rams are as close to a flawless team that we have in the NFL right now. I mean, really, what is their flaw? You can't find a flaw in their offense, and the flaw in their defense is very difficult to find as well. Now, does Aqib Talib recover healthy and quickly? Because that is a massive, massive hole on that defense right now. Aqib is one of the rare corners in the league that you feel you can go play man-to-man with 90% of the game, and he's going to put an X on his guy for a great majority of it. So Kansas City defense is getting a bad rap. You know, they give up some yards, and no doubt about it, but they're also the number one third down defense in the NFL. And so you can say what you want, give up a ton of yards, but when the money downs come and that third down situation comes, if you get off the field, you get off the field. And so, you know, it's not the level of the Rams defense. Both teams obviously are clicking right now, but the Rams are more complete top to bottom.
Last thing, Dan, I'm going to give you five teams that are off to, I would say a surprisingly good start, or I think the general consensus would be they're off to a surprisingly good start. Which one has impressed you the most? The Titans, the Bears, the Redskins, the Bengals, or the Dolphins?
You know, I'll say the Titans. I thought really well of the Titans going into the year, but there was just so many I don't knows. You know, how is Mike Vrabel going to be handle being head coach? Matt LaFleur, their offensive coordinator, first time calling plays. How is he going to be as a play caller? You could be smart and know how to attack defenses and understand offense, but if you can't call plays, you're going to stink. I loved Marcus Mariota in that offense, but how is he going to be with a play caller? And so it seems like things are certainly trending in the right direction. They can play defense. They've got three guys that could play man-to-man in their secondary, and that matters, especially when you get into December when quarterbacks are smart and know you and going to try to find the matchup advantage for their team. And if you got three guys, you're going to make a quarterback to go to his fourth option. That's a big benefit. Yeah. So Tennessee's been the one that I go, all right, you look like you've got some staying power.
Great stuff, Dan. Great insight, man. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me, bud.